Hello and welcome to our worship today. Today, welcome to Aharickle, which is in Lough Arbour, which is in the West Highlands. And I'm by the parish church here. Behind me, stretching up the valley, is Lough Shiel. Now, you may not be able to see much of it with the leaves on the trees, etc., but it's a long, narrow loch. And in our readings today, we're hearing about another body of water, another lake, the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee's not quite as long as Lough Shiel, but it's a lot wider. Some people are very happy being on the water in boats or messing about in the water. Others are less happy doing so. And one of the themes of the service today is stepping out of comfort zones. Our call to worship, some words from Proverbs. In all things let your heart trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all things turn to him, and he will make your paths smooth. So let us join in praising God in our first hymn.
Now let us pray. God of many names and none, you know us each by name, and you know who we are in a way that no one else ever fully can. The good and the bad together. What is broken, what is whole. What is on the long, slow way to being mended. You see the outside face that we present to the world, and you know about the doubts and questions churning around inside. You know where we have come from and how we are today and who one day we will become. You see all the many facets of the complex jewels that we are. And as we are, you love us. Living God, that needs time to sink in. There's a part of us that wants to jump for joy, to know that at last we have been recognised. Another part that wants to run and hide. We do neither of these things, but take time in our imaginations to look on the one who looks on us and deep down inside us, without judgment, disgust or fear, but only with compassion and welcome. We come, as many did to Jesus in his lifetime, in search of wholeness, integration, a piecing together of the shattered fragments of our lives, not in an invisible repair, but highlighted in gold, as Japanese potters do, so that our wounds become part of our story. And your skill is on display for all to see. Cast out the demons of prejudice and fear, we pray, from our homes and our churches and our world. So may our lives bear witness to your goodness and the transforming power of love. All our prayers, our worship, our lives, we offer to you, our God.
Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 26. The healing of a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Amen, and thanks be to God.
I wonder whether Jesus' first disciples saw being with Jesus as a great adventure, or whether they spent a lot of time feeling rather, or even very, uncomfortable about where he took them. Galilean Jews, such as the disciples, lived in small provincial villages, not in large cities. They were not cosmopolitan or sophisticated, and were traditional rather than liberal in their outlooks. As God's chosen people, they believed that they'd be saved by keeping separate from, segregated from others. They followed the religious rules and had avoided those who didn't. They did not mix with non-Jews. In the time that the disciples spent with Jesus, they saw Jesus mixing with lepers, with women, with tax collectors and sinners, and even with non-Jews. In the passage we've just heard, Jesus takes them to the region of the Gerasenes, sometimes called Gadarenes. And a couple of verses before today's Gospel reading began, we hear about the start of that journey. Jesus says, "Let's go over to the other side." And they got into the boat. The western side of the Sea of Galilee was Jewish territory. It was our side. The eastern side, however, was Gentile territory. It was the other side. Our side, the other side. Jesus is taking them to the other side, to the Gentile territory. And if that wasn't bad enough, things get even worse. On the way across, they were caught in a storm. And we hear the familiar story of Jesus calming the wind and the waves and the disciples being very frightened. Having survived that, what's the first thing that happens when they reach land? They were met by a demon-possessed man. In first century Palestine, and in other places and times since, there has been an understanding that mental and psychological issues were caused by possession. There was a man who was crying out and shouting, a man who wasn't wearing clothes, and in Mark's version of the story, he cuts himself with stones. He lives amongst the tombs. He was a man who had the strength to break the chains and shackles that were supposed to hold him. Even with our backgrounds and our greater understanding of mental health issues, I think the situation that faced the disciples may have made us feel uncomfortable at the least, and possibly even frightened. If we look at this incident in more detail, we may understand even more of the disciples' likely feelings. The man lived amongst the tombs. Tombs were to be avoided. Contact with tombs made you unclean. Jesus sometimes mentioned whitewashed tombs. The whitewash was to make the tombs visible so that people could avoid unintentional contact with them. also a common belief, a folk belief in the Jewish people, that demons inhabited tombs. The man cut himself with stones. There would be blood on him, and possibly around him. Blood was deemed to be holy, life-giving. It was used in sacrifices and in some ritual cleansings. Altars were sprinkled with blood. Holy things were also seen to be dangerous. You didn't mess with holy things. Purification rituals had to be followed if there was any contact with blood. And the idea of holy being dangerous links with stories such as Elijah covering his face when God passed by, or Isaiah thinking he was going to die because he'd seen God. So, the disciples had been taken into Gentile territory, met a highly disturbed man, whom they considered demon-possessed, tombs were involved, and as were blood. And to top it all, there was a herd of pigs, unclean animals that would only be found in Gentile territory. Saying that the disciples were out of their comfort zone would probably be a major underestimation of how they felt. Jesus, however, calmly addressed the man and healed him. Jesus calmed the storm in the man as he'd calmed the storm on the sea. The man clothed himself and sat at Jesus' feet. In the meantime, those who had been looking after the pigs fled back to tell the people in the town what had happened. Their main concern may well have been the loss of the pigs, trying to explain to their masters that it hadn't been their fault. And the townsfolk quite naturally came out to see what had happened. And we're told they were overcome with fear. Fear of Jesus, because of the power he displayed in healing the man. Fear that they'd lose even more of their livestock if he stayed around much longer. Unlike many other groups, they obviously didn't see Jesus as a healer, a helper. They didn't want him to stay, and they asked him to leave their area. In a very different way, they were also people out of their comfort zone. As Jesus prepared to leave, the healed man asked to come with him and his disciples. I wonder how the disciples felt about that request. Although the man may well have felt more comfortable staying with Jesus, I'm really not sure that the disciples would have welcomed that addition to their numbers. Anyway, Jesus told the man to stay in his own territory, return home, and tell how much God has done for you. This was quite demand of someone who'd been an outcast, feared by people, probably by his own family, someone without friends. Being told to reintegrate into society, a society that may well have been hostile to him, or at least wary of him. How would he be welcomed or trusted? Yet another example of someone being called out of their comfort zone. But the man did go away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This event shows the disciples, the townsfolk, the disturbed man, all being called out of their comfort zone. The disciples and the man accepted the call and so helped Jesus' work. The townsfolk, however, wouldn't take the risk. In order to continue Jesus' work, the disciples would be called time and time again to step out of their comfort zones, to leave the familiar. Now, not everything that Jesus calls us to do will take us out of our comfort zones. But there will be occasions when Jesus asks us to leave the familiar, our own comfort zone, whatever it is. When he knows that with his support, we are capable of stepping out. For several years, a good while ago, I was repeatedly asked if I would join the Workplace Ministry Chaplaincy in Crawley in Sussex. The role involved going into shops throughout the town centre. I really didn't fancy this and managed to come up with excuse after excuse as to why I couldn't do this. But gradually, these excuses no longer held up. I moved to part-time working, so had the time. I had some counselling training, and so it went on. I can still remember walking into the shops on my first couple of shifts. I'd introduce myself as one of the chaplains. If anyone had taken a photo of the response, I think it would have resembled the meeting of the little girl and E.T., if you remember that film, where both shriek in fear at each other. Well, no, I didn't actually shriek. But I did realise that the shop staff tended to look like rabbits in the headlights. I then found that instead of just introducing myself as a chaplain, I was saying things like, "Hello, I'm Jean. I'm one of the retail chaplains." "But you didn't even know you had them." "Don't worry, we don't bite." The humour seemed to work, and I got to know a lot of the staff and managers. It wasn't an approach that I had thought out. It just seemed to come. When Jesus wants you to do something, he provides. I became quite comfortable in the workplace chair chaplaincy and was looking forward to doing far more of it when I retired. Then, when I retired, my husband and I moved here to Harrogate. Fairly limited opportunities for the workplace ministry chaplaincy. As much as I love the area and the community we've moved into, I was somewhat out of my comfort zone in regard to what I'd be able to do. But as always, God has his plans, which now also involve this online worship. Now, I could give a whole different address on stepping out into the world of IT over the years. God has plans for each one of us. Is he calling you to step out of your particular comfort zone in some way? Some are called to take huge steps, embrace huge change, such as giving up well-paid, secure jobs to work for a charity overseas. But the call isn't always that dramatic. In fact, isn't often that dramatic. It may be a nudge to phone or visit someone who isn't always easy to talk to. But they would welcome a friendly ear. It could be acknowledging that there are people or groups that we find it hard to pray for, and perhaps making the effort to find out more about them, so that we can pray with more confidence, and even perhaps make contact. What about reading in church? Or having a go at recording the reading for the online services? There's help and support available. What makes you feel uncomfortable? Is it possible that God is calling to you to step out of the comfort zone? If He is, He will be with you and help you, as in Jesus, He was with and helped those first disciples. Amen.
God of the margins, Jesus, friend of outcasts and sinners, Spirit who bursts through all the barriers that we create. We cannot read the Gospels and pretend not to know how you feel about some of the most vulnerable of your children being excluded and demonized just because they are different to us, and make the rest feel uncomfortable. As followers of Jesus, we of all people should know what it's like to live on the margins, where He spent much of His time, but we don't seem to. We persist in creating divisions, not mending them. We speak of mission, but still expect other people to change and become like us. The church holds on to its last vestiges of power and social status instead of celebrating the decline that is forcing us back to where you always wanted us to be. Gracious God, we cannot pray for those who are vulnerable without admitting that we are too. The sick, the lonely, the sad, that's many of us already. The homeless, the despairing, the refugee, so very easily could be. And so as we pray for others, we pray for ourselves. We pray for those who are physically ill, for those whose minds are in turmoil, unbeknown perhaps to the people around about them. We give thanks for those who have been brave enough to speak about their experience of mental illness and ask for healing, not just for them, but for a world that shuns and devalues them. We pray for any who are demonized on account of what they believe or where they come from, the way they look, the way they speak, or whom they love. We remember how fearless Jesus was in reaching out to people whom others despised, how He noticed the ones whom others chose to ignore and gave them back their sense of self-worth. We remember what He said about the first being last and the last being first, and how angry it made Him when power was abused and vulnerable people exploited. We remember His last most fervent prayer, that all His people should be one. And with deep humility, we pray for His prayers to be answered, and for us to accept the changes that will need to be made if Your kingdom is to come, Your will to be done, and Your name glorified here on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayers we offer. Amen.
Lord, We offer you our resources and our very selves to be used to break down barriers, to reach out with news of your love. Bless our gifts and strengthen our efforts. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Lord, may we be willing to embrace the great adventure of following you and be willing to step out of our comfort zones so that our lives may bear witness to your great goodness and to the transforming power of your love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, upon all whom we love, and upon all God's children everywhere. Amen.
Shine upon you.